Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCfootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. We got a lot of USC football and basketball news and notes to go over today with the coach, Harvey Hyde. He'll be joining us in just a minute. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or go to his website, harveyhyde.com, for all of his comments and commentary and all of his content. And we got to talk about a bunch of stuff going on, USC men's and women's basketball. We have to talk about USC spring football. We're getting near the halfway point of USC spring football. So a lot of emphasis on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to talk to Coach Hyde about all that. If you have any questions or comments for the show, you can email us podcast at uscfootball.com or call or text us at 424-254-9141. And if you happen to have the Apple podcasting app or Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a review over there. We appreciate that. It helps to grow the show. And we do appreciate the coach, Harvey Hyde, being on with us. It's been a couple weeks, but we got him back. We want to talk about what's been going on in the world of USC athletics. Coach, how are you doing today, sir?
Ryan, I'm doing great, buddy. And I know it's a little bit late to tell everybody happy Easter or whatever, the entire package, but we certainly wish you did have a great holiday weekend. And if you have one coming up here in the near future, we hope you have another great one and all of the packages. And away, here we go in the middle of spring practice. Some universities have finished spring practice. Southern California has their spring game on the 20th. I'm going to be at UNLV's spring game this Saturday, where they're going to honor our 1984 team up there before the scrimmage, and then UCLA scrimmage in the Rose Bowl. So I'm going to see a lot of football, which football never goes away with all the different things that are happening year-round in college football now. So let's get started.
Yeah, sounds good, Coach. And yeah, that'll be great that they're honoring your 84 team 40-year anniversary, right? That's great.
40-year anniversary and the most wins ever by a UNLV football team.
Very cool. That's awesome, Coach. Well, we have some sort of breaking news to get to. As of this morning, we're recording this on, late Monday morning. USC head basketball coach Andy Enfield is out. He's going to SMU for the same job. Athletic director Jen Cohen put a statement out and thanked him for his service and that they will begin a nationwide search. The sky's the limit for USC men's basketball. We got word of this about a week ago or so. I sent a group text coach to my team, and I think the next morning Pete Thamel put it out there that looked like this was going to happen. It didn't become official right away. There were some questions maybe with his family moving from Southern California to Texas, but looked like it all went through. We were hearing going into the weekend, it was just sort of like, you know, some I's needed to be dotted, T's crossed. And then we heard officially this morning, SMU announced that Andy Enfield would be the head coach there for SMU. It's an interesting coach because he recruited really well, but the results on the court weren't as good as the players that he had, I guess, would be maybe the biggest criticism. But I want to get your thoughts on this, Coach, and just see. I know fans, a lot of fans wanted him to be let go anyway, so I don't think a lot of them are really upset at this one. We'll see. But now it's up to Jen Cohen. It's going to be her first big move as USC's athletic director to hire the next men's basketball coach.
Well, I think it's good for both. I think it's good for him to go down to SMU. He gets a new contract, probably a five-year contract, a new start. I think there was a lot of rumblings at USC as far as not producing to the level that USC is expected in a major sport. I think the success of the UNLV women's basketball program has certainly shown that you should do it in women. You should be able to do it in the men. And today there's so much money now in the football and basketball area that I think that it's going to be emphasized at USC. I think that the people will be excited to see who she hires. And I think that with the type of job USC is, that they should be able to get a top coach out there in the country somewhere to come in, recruit to USC, put together a great program, have a great football program, a great men's and women's basketball program. And I think it's a great opportunity for him to go to SMU to get a new start.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Coach. It's just sort of like it's probably best for both at this point. So it's not one of those breakups where one side is left crushed and the other side is moving on. I think both sides are pretty okay with how this went down. I'm guessing, you know, to get rid of Andy Enfield would have been pretty expensive if that's something that Jen Cohen wanted to do. Now it's not. Now you get paid a buyout instead of paying one out. And so it's probably not a terrible thing for USC. It's probably not a terrible thing for Andy Enfield to get a new start somewhere else and going into the ACC, which is, you know, having a great run in the tournament. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Jen Cohen goes with this. So we'll keep following that. And you mentioned the women's basketball team. They all the way to the Elite Eight right now. As of right now, as we're recording, in a few hours, they will be playing UConn for a chance at the first Final Four since the 80s when Cheryl Miller won back-to-back national championships, you know, Cynthia Cooper and those great USC teams. Juju Watkins, one of the darlings of the tournament. She gets to play one of the other darlings and Paige Buckner over at UConn. LSU and Iowa are going at it. So you got all those personalities on LSU that they dispatched of UCLA and Oregon State, I believe, in a row. And there was a big LA Times article on LSU and how they were demonized and all this kind of stuff. Iowa, obviously, Caitlin Clark, the most popular basketball player, college basketball player in the country, men's or women's. So it's going to be a really interesting one. We'll see where USC goes with this, but they're the number one seed. I think they're going to be an underdog to UConn in this one, traditional power of recent years. But congrats to the women of Troy, and we'll see. You know, by the time you guys listen to this, it might be over, but they're trying to get to the Final Four, Coach.
I think they got it going on with USC basketball. They also got a commitment from one of the top, if not the top player in Southern California, to be going to USC next year for the girls basketball program. So I think they've got it going on. Once it catches fire, it just really burns. It becomes a volcano. And I think that's what the people at USC are looking for, not only in basketball, but football and men's basketball. They want to get back to the old era of NCAA championships and water polo, swimming. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be there because of the tradition and everything that USC has had for so many years.
Yeah, I agree with you, Coach. There's no reason why they can't get back there. I think Jen Cohen's a really good athletic director, and she's going to help try to get these teams going in the right direction. Lindsey Gottlieb doing an amazing job over there. You know, Juju's one of the darlings of the tournament. And like you said, they're bringing in more talent. So we'll see how that she can build a power program here at USC. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where they go. We got some news in the football world. USC did get another quarterback. The quarterback room isn't very deep right now, but Jack Stupin out of Tustin High School, he's a 3-star quarterback, had a bunch of offers from kind of group of 5 level schools. He's going to come in as a walk-on, so he'll add some depth. He committed over the weekend, and then they also got a commitment from a 3-star running back out of Southlake, Texas, Carroll High School, Riley Wormley. So he unofficially visited USC and then committed to the Trojans on Sunday after he got back to Dallas. He's 5'9", 170 pounds, number 39 running back in the nation, and 70th overall prospect in Texas, according to 24/7 Sports. So a couple of commitments, one, you know, adding some depth to that quarterback room with a, you know, solid walk on, and then another running back commitment, Coach. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you, you got to build your program. You can't just think of offense. You can't keep a defense. And I think in the past, they've now learned that you can't over recruit one special position, or like the receivers. They had too many receivers and not enough defensive linemen. And I think now they're learning to balance out their recruiting so that they subsidize and fill the needs necessary and try to balance out their offensive side of the football and their defensive side of the football. I don't know of these players that they just signed and are committed, and I haven't seen them on video yet. I've taken a look at some of the other players on video, and I think they're headed in the right direction regarding the defensive side of the football. And I like to see them getting guys that are hungry, guys that like to play the game of football, guys that maybe walk to school, guys that maybe had to ride their bike to school. Maybe they didn't come up with new clothes and nice cars every day. When they go into Georgia and they get some of these great players, they're hungrier. And I think they see if they get out of Georgia, they have an opportunity to come to the West Coast and experience a whole new lifestyle. And I think that that's happening down there, and the word is spreading.
Yeah, I agree with you, Coach. And if, you know, there was a huge recruiting weekend the previous weekend where, you know, pick up a bunch of defensive commitments, including a couple of highly ranked defensive linemen out of the state of Georgia and flipping one. So there was a kind of big defensive emphasis last weekend. And then, you know, they had some visitors on campus this past weekend. It was rainy, which that's not good, but that's okay. So it doesn't rain that much here, but it's rained a bunch this year, which is interesting. And picking up some more momentum on the offensive side of the ball. So we're going to talk about that defensive emphasis in a minute, Coach, because I know you have some thoughts on that. I just wanted to go over some of the kind of newsy items that's been going on around the program. We also, Lincoln Riley over the weekend was asked about cornerback Sayer Wright. He's still away from the team, so they don't have him listed on the 2-deep. And the secondary looks a lot different. It's, you know, they brought in new players. They've, you know, some transfers, some young players. It'll be really interesting to see how that secondary room sort of shakes out. But there's a lot of really good options there. It seems like there's very good depth. But Sayer Wright is not among them right now. Lincoln Riley didn't answer the question if he was going to be back this season. So he just said there was no development on the situation. So we'll keep, you know, listening to see if anything happens with Sayer Wright. You know, be more depth in that room. Someone with some experience, someone with a lot of talent. But as of right now, Coach, it doesn't look like Wright's going to be around the team, at least for, you know, and maybe we'll see him some of the summer or the fall. But for right now, don't plan on seeing him right now.
Well, there's always a reason why somebody's not out there. Whether it's a discipline problem or an academic problem or some problem. Otherwise, you'd step up and you say he no longer wants to be a Trojan, or he's got to take care of business off the field before he can get back on the field. And I think the mystery of it doesn't solve anything. I think you have to be honest with the press and the media and the people on exactly what the situation is by not specifically going into details, but, you know, all of a sudden the guy didn't turn into missing in action. So I think sometimes you got to be honest up front, and I think everybody appreciates that.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on what's going on, what we hear from that on Sierra Wright. But right now, he's not there. But like I said, very deep secondary room. It looks pretty good from my point of view. So we'll check that out. Well, I wanted you to kind of come into – there has been, I guess, probably since, you know, week 10 last year after Alex Grinch got fired, it seemed like there was a whole new emphasis on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, they played a lot better on defense after Grinch got fired, and they played in the Holiday Bowl, had a few weeks to kind of get ready, a little bit different approach, tackled better, they looked better, made a bunch of great hires, at least it looks like great hires on paper, on the defensive staff, and that seemed to change things. The philosophy for how bodies are constituted have changed. Guys are bigger, a lot bigger than they were, sort of like what the previous regime wanted as far as like body sizes, especially on the defensive line. A lot of weight has been gained, you know, but you have the same head coach, same strength coach, but the players look different. And it seems like Danton Lynn has some different philosophies of what he wants to see. And it seems like the players have embraced it. On the recruiting side, that's picked up as well. So whole lot of defensive emphasis, Coach, because I want to get your thoughts on that. I mean, it's to have like historically bad defenses 2 years in a row, there's no place to go but up. It's, I guess the question is how far can they go up? But I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on all this, you know, focus on improving the defense at this point.
Well, I think we've talked about this for a couple of years now, and you've always heard me say, get great players, put the great players in the positions that they can execute what they're doing, have defensive coaches and know what schemes to run and make sure they run them properly and there's no breakdowns or mistakes or so on. Size and speed are the name of the game, no matter what game it is anymore, and basketball, track and field, doesn't make any difference. Football especially, size and speed and power. And more or less when USC hired Lincoln Riley, it was more or less all the emphasis was Heisman Trophy coach, Heisman Trophy winners at Oklahoma, Heisman this, Heisman that, offensive scores. There wasn't really much of a discussion on the defensive side of the football, and mostly everybody just sort of ate that up. Nobody really looked at the defensive side or looked at how much time Lincoln Riley as the head football coach was spending with the defensive side of the football. And I think if you're a regular listener here to our podcast, you've heard me talk about that it's not Alan Grinch's defense. It's not Lincoln Riley's offense. It's not his special teams. The whole football program is under Coach Lincoln Riley. He's responsible for all of it. And when you talk about a defensive side of the football, it's Lincoln Riley's defense. It's not someone else's defense or offense or whatever. They all do. And you should understand as a head football coach what the defensive side is doing, what the offensive side is doing. If you don't know what they're doing, how do you correct it? Or how do you tell them don't do this or don't do that? And I think that after the pressure has been put on over the last couple of years, and last season especially, was the season before they just outscored people, but yet they haven't won a Pac-12 championship. They did win a Holiday Bowl, and the Heisman Trophy winner didn't even play. But when they had a couple of weeks of practicing with a new philosophy and keep the ball in front of you, and they did play better defense. So you have to emphasize, and the head coach has to be a part of the entire football program. And I think now he's starting to do that. He's talking about city and staff meetings as far as with the defensive staffs and all of these different type of things. I don't think that's necessary to tell the public. I think he should just know that I'm very much aware of the defense that we're running. I like our defense. I think it's being run properly by guys that have coached defense. And I think that we've made a great improvement on the defensive side in our coaching area, philosophy area. And I've made some great adjustments in my responsibility as far as understanding that the entire football program is under my leadership. And we're not just going to outscore people. We're going to play great defense, and the offense isn't going to stand on the sideline and wonder, do we have to go in there again? Are they going to get the ball back for us? And I think that when you heard these coaches, when they had their press conference and when they explained what defense was all about and what they're looking for and talking about when they talked about teaching the game of football and never asking someone to do something they can't do in the schemes they run, that they're going to get these players to become better football players by keeping it simple and moving slowly along the way and understanding what each player can do and what they can't do. And I think that's very important. And I think the defensive side of the football, if you talk to some of the players who have played there before, see the difference. And I think that you're going to get other players that want to get coached by these guys who are great defensive coaches. I think Henderson's doing a great job as far as recruiting defensive linemen. I think the linebacker coach will get in your face and teach you, hey, you're a linebacker. You just don't cover the pass. You stop the run and do them both. And the secondary the same way. You're not just a coverer. You're also a tackler. And let everybody understand what the responsibilities are with the support of the head football coach, as well as on the defensive side of the football, and not be afraid to go down during the game and give a little bit of an inspirational talk to the coaches and also the defensive players, knowing that he does care and he does know and he's a part of the team. So I think there's been more of an emphasis on that. In fact, I think in the spring, most of all the publicity in the media has been around the defense, and there's been very little talk about the offense, unless you guys, when you're at a press conference, bring up the question.
That's probably not a bad thing. I don't know if you can go from too far from one extreme to the other, coach, but there was just a lot of offensive talk. And I think because the offense has proven itself, now, yeah, you got to replace Caleb Williams. You have to replace a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. But we've seen Lincoln Riley's offenses be great all the time. It just seems like every time, it just works. It's just a kind of a proven system. Like you just know they're going to be good. And do you have to talk about it as much? Maybe not. Obviously, the defense has been terrible. You talked about them just trying to outscore people all the time. I don't know if it's something that just clicked. If it's one of those things where maybe Lincoln Riley didn't emphasize it enough or thought he was, and it was like he's just kind of redoubled his efforts. Like if he thought he was putting a lot of emphasis on the defense, he just put more. And I don't know how much more they could have put on it this offseason. And it seems like so far it's paying dividends. You mentioned guys like Eric Henderson just, out there killing it on the recruiting trail. They look good on the practice field from what we can see. But it's interesting that, like, could it have been done 2 years ago? I guess if you want to make a change, it's better to do it now than later. And yeah, you could look back and say, well, you should have done this 2 years ago. Probably true. Should they have got rid of Alex Grinch after year one? Probably true. But I guess now you want to be in a better spot going into the Big Ten, and it looks like they are. I'm not too concerned that we're not hearing much about the offense coaches because, like I said, it's been proven. But I think fans are pretty excited that the defense has turned things around, and the biggest negative being, like what you had mentioned, it's sort of like, well, what took so long? Why wasn't this sort of effort put in there before?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, you come in normally as a head football coach at USC from Oklahoma, knowing what it takes to win in the Pac-12 or any conference, and you come in, and we expect that as far as people to recognize what's working and what's not working. I think you do. I think fans do. I mean, Los Angeles are smart fans. They understand what's working, what's not working, and they start to think about, well, why isn't this being corrected, or what's going on, or the running game. Now, right now, if there's any talk about the offense at all, they're talking about they like the running backs. They're working on the running game. They got to get the running game to go. You know, things that we've been talking about for, I don't know how many years on our podcast here, as far as being balanced, as far as being a running team, a passing team, being able to do everything, sometimes go under center, and which in the past, that's been something that when they go under center, you say, oh my gosh, the quarterback went under center. But you've got to have the series and the times when those certain type of series and plays are necessary to go under center. And the goal line and short yardage situations, not just for the quarterback push, but for a regular series down there in the goal line or short yardage situations or so on. These are the things that I think has been lacking as far as on the offensive side of football, is you got to have something for every type of situation. And I think that I'm looking forward to the practice, the spring game, more than anything else, because we haven't been able to, and I'm being honest with everybody, I haven't even gone to one practice. There's no reason to go to a practice. I'm not spending 2 hours each way in my car to watch 10 minutes or 20 minutes of stretching. I'm just telling everybody out there, and where I'm getting most of my information from is all the interviews with Coach Lincoln Riley and all the material you put out and so on, and what I read in the media. But when I go down there, I'll be able to evaluate more when I see them in action. And I'll say, why is it we can go to a scrimmage and watch that? Why we can't go to a practice and watch it? I mean, I just doesn't make sense to me. And I've checked around a lot of my friends as far as who are in coaching, and most of their practices are open to the media. And UCLA across town, their entire practice is now open to the media. So, I mean, that's their style, and that's what they want to do. So they certainly could do what they want to do as a head football coach or a program. But to me, I want good coverage in Southern California. I want to be out there in front of everybody. They had all the high school coaches there the other day. Maybe I could have signed up and gone as a high school coach. I don't know how that worked and watched practice on Saturday. But you know what I mean? Why are they any different than us going and watching practice? But your high school coaches are recruiting their schools coming in from all of their different colleges around the country. And they're going to say, hey, were you over at SC spring game on Saturday or spring practice? And they go, yeah, I was over there. Well, what did you see? What did you think? Well, you know, I sort of like what they're doing with this, and I like what they're doing with that. So all that conversation goes on, too. Don't think it doesn't go on during spring recruiting. Coaches say, oh, this and that, did you go to the clinic? So there's always ways to find out about what's going on is within a spring practice. So, But I hope the running game's coming along. I hope they're developing other areas on the offensive football at work. I hope special teams is coming along well. I don't know how much they're doing with special teams or what they're talking about at special teams. But I think that all phases of the football program going into the Big Ten have got to be really emphasized. And I think the areas that weren't emphasized now are getting emphasized more, or at least we believe it's being emphasized more. And I think the public does.
Yeah. I mean, it you can feel it. I mean, it just looks different. One of the weird things for me, Coach, is the bodies that have been changed, just as far as like, hey, would they added like 300 pounds on the defensive line in that room? To me, when your head coach is the same, the strength and conditioning coach is the same, did Alex Grinch have that much power over what the defensive players he wanted them to look like, that they were smaller and quicker? And then Danton Lynn comes in, or was it just a general change in philosophy? Like, no, we need to make everybody bigger. And it was, you know, I talked to Josh Henson, I think it was last week, Coach, the offensive line coach, and I asked him about the sort of differences he's seen on the defensive line. And, you know, he talked about it looked better for them. They were getting better looks because guys weren't trying to run around them anymore. They were trying to run through them, and it helped the offensive line practice. You were going against bigger bullies on the defensive line. So that was one of the more curious things for me, Coach. It's just like, well, why are the defensive bodies changing now? Is it only because you got a new defensive coordinator, or just maybe it's like a general philosophy, like, hey, we got to do this differently, or some combination of that?
Well, I think it's a defensive coordinator's philosophy. When you hire a defensive coordinator, you sit down and you talk to him and you say, what is your philosophy? What are we doing wrong? Let's look at this and this and that and so on. And who are we going to play and what are we going to face and the teams that we're going to be playing in the Big Ten? And it's going to be physical football. And you hire him because that's what he played at UCLA. He knocked you off the ball. He didn't try to take A gaps or go, we used to go left or right or depending what you wanted to do and have linebackers scrape to the area you went away from. I mean, he wants some guys to punch you in the mouth. And I think if you punch a guy in the mouth once in a while, you know, you wear his ass down. And he didn't like that, especially if you drive him into the backfield. You already started as far as a great run defense, and you continue that rush for the pass. So I think it's really good that you do that. And your linebackers, you've got to have great linebackers who love to tackle. They love to break as many face masks as they can during the season as far as making those type of tackles. And you play that type of football, three and out. See how many three and outs we can get in the game or turnovers in a game. And I don't want to say hurt anybody in the game, but we want them to know that they played us when they played our defense. They came across and said, hey, you guys are pretty good, man. You guys struck a blow. And I used to feel really good about that when we played teams and they come across and when they shook their hand, hey, they said, hey, you guys are a good football team. Congratulations and best of luck the rest of the year, rather than come across and say, you guys were lucky to beat us. You guys are really lucky to beat us. I mean, there's a different sound of different beating the drum when you have those type of guys. And I think that's what his Lynch philosophy is, and that's what New's philosophy is. And they all together, they're all hard-nosed coaches. And when you have old-style hard-nosed coaches, you got tough guys playing defense. And I've always said on the defensive side of the football, it's not technique, it's technique, plus it's the skill and the strike of the blow and the tackling procedures that you do and the pride you put on the defensive side of the football. On offense, it's all timing, reading the defense, trying to take advantage of what the defense tries to do to you. But you've got to be balanced on the offensive side of the football to be able to do that. And sometimes if you don't practice it and you're not good at it, you just can't do it when you think you need it. You got to know that you can do it by working on it all the time.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Coach, on anything you've heard from spring football? We'll be back out. This is week three, Tuesday morning, 5:30 a.m. practice. I will be out there on Howard Jones Field. We're recording this on Monday. On Tuesday morning early, get a feel for what it was. They did an early practice last week too. But any thoughts on Anything else from spring football, Coach?
Yeah, right. I want you to do me a favor. If you're at the press conference, please don't be afraid to ask, why are you practicing at 5:30? Has anybody asked? That's the biggest penalty for your staff and your players you could ever give them. That's when I used to penalize my players, is bring them out at 5:30 when they did something wrong.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's asked that, so I'll try to get that in tomorrow, Coach, and see. What's the
flat ass. What is the deal? You're not going to play anybody at 5:30 in the morning. You're not going to. It's not a time change. If you're doing that because of the time change of traveling, it's not going to make any difference now because that's months away. Why would you do that? Because of afternoon classes? I mean, at least ask the question, please. Why 2 or 3 5:30 in the morning practices? Why don't you make them all at 5:30? Or why don't you have, you know, whatever your philosophy is, why are you doing this? Someone please ask, what is the philosophy of a 2:35, a 5:30 a.m., a 1 o'clock? I mean, what is the philosophy? I mean, they've got to be able to share that with you, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't they share that with you? How big of a secret is that?
Yeah, I don't know. So they have the March 26th practice was 5:30 in the morning, so that's a Tuesday. April 2nd, which will be tomorrow, that's a 5:30 practice. April 9th, which is a week from tomorrow, is a 5:30 practice. And then I think that's the last one. Yeah, April 13th, it goes to 10:05 a.m. So that's... Oh, wait, so the 9th. No, it would be, I'm sorry, April 16th would be a week from that, and that would be a 2:35 practice. So there'll be 3 5:30 a.m. Practices in the middle of spring football. And then the first Tuesday wasn't. It was a regular one at 2:35. And then the last Tuesday will also be a regular one at 2:35. But, yeah, I'll do my best to ask that tomorrow, Coach, see what's going on there.
Yeah, please ask him that because I'm worried about your staff. Trevino was really yawning when he did his interview that day. And if you remember, he was saying, my God, when I got here, it was dark. I had to leave my house at 3:30 in the morning. I had just been at the women's basketball game. My God, it feels like I felt sorry for your staff.
Yeah, it was Chris. So, yeah, Connor was at the women's basketball game pretty late and then had to be on campus really early. And, you know, they're there like at 4:30 or they're there well ahead because practice really starts at 5:30. So they want to see the guys coming out of the tunnel. So they get there even earlier. I got there right about 5:30, but, and then Chris was doing a like 4-hour podcast because they had the big recruiting weekend and he didn't finish till after midnight and just slept in our studio here at Redondo Beach and then went right to USC from that. So it did impact the schedules a little bit, but hopefully tomorrow, there's not as much going on tonight, so tomorrow maybe it'll be a little bit easier. There's a women's basketball game, but it's not local, so we're not covering it locally, and it starts a little earlier, so not too bad.
Just imagine this. If you're a player, you got to get up at 3:30 because you've got to go and get taped, have your breakfast, do all of that, get out, go to a meeting probably before you go on the field. I mean, 3:30, make it 4 o'clock even. I mean, what type of deal is this, man?
Yeah, I wonder if you eat. I don't, like, because it's so early, maybe you eat like a late dinner and then don't eat before. I'm not sure. That might be something to ask as well.
Well, by the time they get to class in the afternoon, they're snoring, okay? They're snoring going to class and study hall. I'm going to tell you, a body can only get up, and if you get up early in the afternoon, you sort of run out of gas and or start drinking some coffee or eating some bananas or peanut butter or something because, you know, your body can only run full speed so many hours a day. You got to learn to pace it. So I don't know. I'm just asking you to ask the question for me, please. And, just say, could you just tell us this, Coach, because I get up awful early in the morning and this is, you can kid with him. I don't know what you want to do with him. I just, I would just flat, Coach, are you crazy?
We had one comment from Frank in Sacramento. He said, good news on the Texas running back commitment, small but mighty. And he says, For Andy Enfield, he's supposedly going to be, he said, him going to Southern Methodist University is good news for the Trojans. He stunk as our head coach in spite of hundreds of recruitable great basketball players in the LA area. He was Pat Hayden's last mistake hire. Frank in Sacramento. He won 220 games. I think he's the winningest coach in USC basketball history. But, I mean, Frank's point is, you know, a lot of fans made the same one. They just didn't seem to get the wins. The wins didn't compare to the amount of talent that was brought in, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, it didn't reach the expectations of what's supposed to be at USC. When you give rings to a team which you made the Sweet 16, I don't think that's setting the level of what you talk about national championships or Final Four, okay? I only gave rings if you won a national championship or a bowl game, not if you reach the Sweet 16 or take third place in the league, okay? So that was done during that era. I don't know if you remember that or not, but those are things that I think a lot of people that have been around sports recognize.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I like you said, I think it's just best for both sides of this equation to kind of move on and figure things out. So, all right. Well, that's right. Good. Go ahead, Coach.
I would say I like him, but I sat with him at the banquet, him and his wife. Very nice person, but I think it's great for him to have another opportunity, probably another five-year contract where he wouldn't have lasted five more years at USC. And it's always easier to get a job when you have a job. So I think it works out perfect for everybody.
Yeah, no, I think it does. All right. Well, that is going to wrap things up. We wish the women of Troy a best of luck as they try to take down UConn and make the Final Four. For the coach, I appreciate you coming on, and everyone else, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.